This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This chair is here for a reason. Come back to that. Past week I was on our new building site, and I go there kind of weekly just to see how the progress, and they were busy with a stage. We'll see, and I'll show you some photos later on. But I stood there on the stage, and like, man, this thing is too big. We have to cut away some of the stage and give that to the rest of the congregation to fit in more seats. But then, when is it on Thursday? I told the elders, you know, this thing is just too big. I don't know what we should do. But anyway, I'm not going to change the plans. The guy told me, no, it's going to be smaller. That's just the barricade there. But anyway, so we jokingly said, you know what, we're going to have a lounge on the... on the stage as well, so they come and sit there. So in future, if you're welcome in the new church, you can sit in the lounge and you watch the people, and then I don't feel so intimidated. And I've got more people here looking at you. So, no, I'm just joking. But I'm sharing this morning on a topic which I named "The Bittersweet Taste of a Successful Vision," and it's always you know, to put the right theme or to put the right a name for your sermon, think about that. But and I want to share about where God is taking us in 2020. And I think the story I'm about to tell this morning, or Nehemiah, when we go back to that, it's so relevant for us as church here, but also for us as individuals. So I really want you to study that book of Nehemiah, because it's such a picture and type of where we find ourselves. But before we go into that, I mean, that the whole story of Nehemiah is like it's like this vision that came to fulfillment, but that vision had a bit of bitter and sweet in it. Okay, and now we all love the sweet part. Okay, I don't know anybody like the bitter part. Nobody. Yeah. Okay. Then okay, we are normal. I'm preaching to the right people here this morning. We all love the sweet part, and it starts sweet, but somewhere we get the bitter part as well. But the reality in life is, if anything that we have to walk in any vision to fulfill that or to arrive at a specific destiny, it's not always sweet. The journey is not always easy. And contemplating upon 2019, and we're currently early in 2020, we would love to leave some stuff behind in 2019, but reality is you can't just leave that. You brought it with you. Like, wait. You wanted to leave that behind, but when 2020 came, you still have that weight there. We wish I could just press the button, 5 kilos down, Christmas, cut off. Okay, it's a new year, zero the button, huh? But it doesn't work like that. And I'm using such an example because our minds think like that often, spiritually speaking, but also in life as well. We kind of hope somewhere here between the 2 years, between 12 o'clock and 1 minute past 12, everything's going to change. And this year we've got hope, and I spoke about hope, you know, and it's great, we need hope, you know. But we kind of hope, you know, this year is going to be the year, and you need hope. But the reality is, time anyway is man-made in that sense, because it's just for us to have a reference and to work within certain time frames. But for God, there's eternity. God doesn't have a 2019 and 2020, it's just eternity. That blows my mind anyway. So I'm not going to go down that way, then I wouldn't be able to preach, because it's just burned out my whole mind. Eternity. None of us in this room can even begin to comprehend eternity. That is just, boom, that's God. Anyway, so, but for us to operate, we need time. We need a calendar. We need all of that, and we need to plan. And we need to know where are we going in this year. But the challenge we're facing is we live in a society where if I don't like this, I can have something else. If this is not nice, I don't go and find something else that is nice and that is sweet. Or if I don't like to stick here anymore, let me go and find something that I love this, I can hang around here, do this, commit here. But if I don't like that commitment anymore, it doesn't please me, oh, let's just find something else. And that mentality sometimes affects us in church as well. We would start with something, and then you're like, this is not the way I thought it's going to turn out. God, give me a new word. Fresh word from God. And then we're halfway with that, and God, give me a fresh word. And I was, you know, hoping for a fresh word, and the fresh word was not this as I don't want to say as fresh as I thought it would be. Because some stuff, you know, God already spoke to us in 2019, and it's a carried over. It's not like we finished. Oh, God, give us something new. I know we use that terminology often, but I guess God wants to teach us something here this morning, or say something to us this morning, that he's carrying on certain stuff. But often, the journey itself is more important than the actual destination. Because our eyes are so fixed upon the destination that we forget the lessons that we learn alongside the journey. And I think God is sometimes more interested in the journey than so much destination. Whether we arrive at Mauritius or wherever our promised land is this morning, is God wants to teach us something along the way. And I think we're going to reflect upon this years from now and say, you know what, back then we were just so stupid. I mean, that's what I think often when I reflect back. Oh, I was a stupid man. How could I think like that? But here's the thing. God teaches us along the way and the journey. And the story of Nehemiah is such a beautiful story of, like I said, where we find ourselves. And let me give you some background. Nehemiah works for the king. He's been taken captive in a different country. He's away from Jerusalem. He hears the bad news about Jerusalem's wall, the walls of Jerusalem that's been broken down. And when he heard the bad news of the walls of Jerusalem, which is a type of the church, a type of the kingdom, if you look at it that way, it saddens him to that place that he just couldn't live with that bad news, which is a message to us as well, that in itself. How do you respond to the bad news of the kingdom of God? When you see the need, when you hear the bad news, does it still affect you emotionally as well? Because it affected him emotionally. When he was in the presence of the king, and they were not supposed to be sad in the presence of the king, otherwise, imagine that, you have to pretend every day. Maybe, but deep inside you are so disturbed by the bad news. And in this case, Nehemiah, that was the king's cupbearer, he was there next to the king, and he was so sad, and by God's grace, the king looks at him and says, why are you sad? He could have killed him. He said, listen, I want somebody that's friendly. I don't want that spirit inside here. Anyway, and then the king speaks to him, and he allows him to go back to Jerusalem, and eventually, long story to fast forward this, he gave him permission to collect all valuables and stuff and resources and to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem. He inspects that at night. By the way, when God asks you to do something, sometimes you have to keep it close and in secret. Because not everybody's as excited about that as you. And the naysayers will kill that very soon. And I think that's very relevant why the Bible said that they did it at night. Because all the enemies, if they would have known, and he says, if the seed is still small, remember with Herod, when it was still small. Sometimes when the seed is small, you got to protect that. I think I spoke about that in December. So he did that at night till he had a bigger picture and a fuller picture. And then he started sharing with the people. I think chapter 2 talks about everybody that took their place on the wall. Very prophetically there, what happened. And then along the way, it started off sweet. And then along the way, some stuff happened here. Let's pick this up from verse 6, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. So that's what happened up to that chapter. Everything started off well. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. Somebody can say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, then I know everybody's awake. Ask the people in the first service the same. Okay. And that's a rule. Are you allowed to talk when I preach? Okay. Okay, you can say shout, whatever. Amen. Okay, then I know you are with me. Otherwise, I don't know. Other pastors do it as they do, but I prefer that you speak to me. Okay, it's not a one-way conversation here. But I know the stuff is, you are present. Nehemiah 4 verse 6 says, at last the wall was completed to half its height. Not to its full height, half its height. Around the entire city. Now they started, everybody on the wall, everybody started off well, but it's just halfway. For the people had worked with what? Enthusiasm. Now we started this building project with very, very enthusiastic. I mean, there was nothing, and I'm going to refer back to that because it's not just about the building project. Please hear me out, people. This is about ministry as well. It's more than just the actual building. The building is just there for us to look at that and to see that as a typical example of how God would take us through one, just one scenario. But it might be a ministry scenario this morning, and I want to bring it back a little bit to ministry this morning so that we don't just think personally, but we think kingdom here this morning. That we start off enthusiastic, or with enthusiasm, now I have to, tongue twister, with enthusiasm. Huh? Yes. Okay. If I'm thinking too fast, then I'm running ahead of where I'm running. Anyway. But, and listen, this but is not a good but. In verse 7, they started off with enthusiasm, but brace yourself. When Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we prayed. But there's another. So the first but was Sanballat and Tobiah. Resistance. But just before that, there was enthusiasm. Oh, we're going to do something for God. I don't know if you've used that word. I've used that word. God, thank you for that vision. God, I'm so excited of where you're taking us. I'm so excited. You know, I can still get excited. When I get in my car, and I've done it this past week as well, I love those dreaming moments. Oh, seriously. I love that because God shows you stuff that where he's taking you. But there's a but in the story. There are Sanballats and Tobias and Ashdodites and Ammonites. They are not as excited. They would come along the way and discourage you and bring confusion. And then there's another but in the story. But we did what? We prayed. People, there's just a word for you for the year, but we prayed. I don't know whatever might come your way, but if you get that, you got you fixed a lot, or you are able to fix, not you, but God can fix that, but you've got a key there. And it's something that I would love to see. Now I can say it so clear that nobody misinterpret me. If there's something that I would love to see for us as a congregation, that is this, that every member would at least once a week come and pray. You know, you used to pray for just a Tuesday morning. And I know some of us, we've got other different responsibilities. But now we pray every single day. It's hard to find an excuse now, eh? Ouchie, huh? Only excuse is I love my sleep. Okay. No, it's serious. I think God is giving us something here. And something beautifully is busy developing here. And anyway, but we prayed. Say that, but we prayed. To our God and guarded the city, day and night to protect ourselves. There's something there as well. I want you to notice this. It talks about the typical church scenario, the typical kingdom scenario. But we prayed, and what did we do? Guard the city. It talks about the spiritual and the natural, yeah. Huh? You get those in the kingdom, they just guard the city. They never bow the knee. They all want to do everything in their own flesh. Every time, you know, we accomplish things in our own strength. But they never get to that place where they realize, you know, you won't be able to do that in your own strength. You'll have to bow your knee. And stuff, some stuff, you just are outnumbered. Then you get the other side. All they do is just so spiritual. They can never get to the work. But we'll pray. No, no, listen. Stop praying now. We need you now. Get on the wall. Go and get some bricks. Do the work. And we need a balance of both in that of that in our lives. There are actual work in the kingdom of God. The actual place that you have to face people, take some of your time, whatever, and do something. Yeah, he was never part of the curse. Amen. But there's a part that we realize, you know, even we give our best of our abilities and our work and our resources, it's not enough. My fish and bread is not enough. Bow your knee. But we prayed. Anyway, here's the thing. The vision will always come from God. If it's from God, I want to say this. But the first step, and I want you to notice this, the first step will always start with you. The origin of the vision might come from God. Build that church. See, and God gives us the plans of the church. You see, or a ministry. That seed of that ministry. That thought that you had, that dream that you have about that ministry, about where did it start? It didn't start with you just being nice and sitting there and one day I thought I will do this. No, that was God. But after that, he leaves it up to you and me to act upon that. That first step of any vision will always be back to you. Okay, God, I'm going to step out in faith now. I hurt you. God, I'm afraid, but I'm going to do this now. So when we start, we always start with our resources first, whatever it might be. We bring that to the table, our time, our resources, our funds, our whatever it is. We give something of ourselves. Are you still with me? It starts with that. That's just common sense, natural. Spiritual, natural. Do you see that? Started in the spiritual, got it to show you something that is not yet visible in the natural. I mean, who of you prayed on that place when there was nothing? That was spiritual. Remember, I still have the photo. I think that's my most special photo. When there's nothing and everybody's standing there and we're praying. Huh? There's nothing to pray now there. I mean, it's not nothing, but I mean, correct myself here. You'll have to go and pray with me there. It's still tough. We'll get there. What I'm just saying is, when there's nothing, it's so much harder. But I mean, I found it as well that I'm so excited. I can stand there. God, you're going to do this. And God, I see this church. And God, you. Man, okay, it's right. Okay, now you need to move out in faith. Okay, God, but you said you're going to do it. No. I gave you the vision. Okay, so, and then we start off. And we started off. And I'm going to refer to our church building. Please, people, it's not just the church building. I want you to see this ministry-wise. So stick to ministry this morning. Don't just think about your, and with all due respect, about your personal situation where you are. But I want us just to, for a moment, reflect upon kingdom here this morning. Because any God-given vision ministry, it starts off with an excitement in our hearts. We're so excited. God, we're going to reach this nation. Oh, we're going to reach our youth in town. I don't know. You want to reach, God says, no, I want you to reach the nation. No, God. I don't know how. Anyway, so it starts off. Then there's a but in the story. And there's a dividing line that God would lead us deliberately to that place where we run out of our resources, we run out of our time, I don't have time available, I'm tired, I'm discouraged, I feel like, I don't know, I don't want anymore. Because the Bible says that these people, yeah, verse 10 says, then the people of Judah began to what? Complain. Huh, that sounds like church. Sorry. Hey, come on. It's a joke, but it's a reality. You can say amen. Have you never heard people complaining? Huh? Come on, you can say amen. People complain. That's just normal. We are people. The workers are getting tired. Oh, God, this is November. We can't do this anymore. Okay. And there's so much rubble to be moved. And now look at this. This is after they started off well. We will never be able to do this. Now it's easy to get to this place. If we allow Sanballat, Tobias, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites to infiltrate us, to infiltrate it from inside as well, and to affect us. And then what happens? If we don't pray and we don't keep focused, we all will get to that place of, not going to be possible. How are we ever going to do this? But it's a good place to be. Because you need to get to the end of yourself. You can say amen on that. It's true. God wants to lead us to that place of the end of ourselves. So you realize it's not about you and me. I think God is deliberately taking us to the place to the end of your own gifting as well. Because we can't rely upon our gifting, building churches upon a pulpit and a worship ministry and stuff. That's all wonderful that we should be focused and make sure that they're all right. But it's not about my sermon here this morning. It's about the glory of God this morning. We cannot build places for man to stand there and, oh man, look at me, ping, 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 or here I stand here, love my sermon or not, or whatever it might be, our gifting. That's been given to you anyway. God gave that to you. Thank Him for that and just realize, give it back to Him. Say, God, whatever I am is from You. Thank You. And it's fish and bread, by the way, anyway. Can't feed everybody. This keeps us humble. Anyway, God would lead us to that place, that dividing line, where we come to the end of ourselves, where they were, and then you have to realize that you realize, I have to step across that line, but if I'm going to step across that line, I'll have to activate faith. The majority of believers, I believe today in the church, do not understand faith. We confuse that, and you know, sometimes God comes through for us in our situation at home, finances, whatever, but I want to bring it back to ministry, because yes, God can come through in your finances and it's great. But when you apply that faith in a situation that's bringing glory to God for for the sake of ministry, let's put it that way. Not that the other stuff that doesn't bring glory to God. But when we come to that place that we are busy with godly things, that God commanded us to go down this direction, that God said, I'm with you, we start off, we run to a place where we run, or we walk towards a place where we come to the end of ourselves and we realize, you know, we are with our backs against the wall as the people of Israel next to the Red Sea. That's a faith scenario there. The enemy is closing in, the gap is coming in, and the Lord says, what are you going to do? And Moses said, what did Moses stand and see? Stand and see. Man, I often think about that. See, God starts with us. What is in your hand, Moses? Gideon, how many men do you have? David, use your slingshot. But then you reach that place that you know that God needs to step in here, or I need to step over across that line. The majority of believers, when they get to that line, they choose either say, oh, listen, let me sit back and this place where I can predict and have control over, I'll stay in this side. And there are some that says, God, I will step over to the other side and I'm going to trust you to come through for me, ministry-wise this morning. I don't know if it's for the congregation. Maybe it's for the congregation. Well, I'll put it out there. You can take it if you want it. But the Lord said to me earlier this year, he said, Yaku, it's your year of faith. And the scripture that God gave me is all things that are possible for those that believe. And maybe it's just spilling over, so have it if you want it, I almost want to say. But I believe we're going to get to places that God's going to take us that we've never ever dreamed of, but only if we step out in faith. You see, faith doesn't come after the before the sacrifice. You first need to make the sacrifice. Then God steps up and says, okay, I can see you're serious about this. Why would God give us those places and things if we still sit here in the safe zone and we're not willing to step into that unknown territory where we think, phew, man, this is a place we're going to be humiliated here if he doesn't come through. That's faith, man. Where we sometimes think, what is the world going to say about this? Your Brook Beaver. You're going to like this. I hope I'm not stupid now. Yeah, I think that sometimes as well. But I just try and make sure that the voice that is guiding me is God's voice. It's not just my own thoughts directing me. But God needs to take us to that place. And I want you to think about that. Are you currently in a place, ministry-wise, think about where you're involved now in church or kingdom. If you're not, bless you, my brother. I trust that after this morning, something has dropped into your spirit that you need to get on the wall. But if you're on the wall, actively involved with the kingdom of God and furthering the kingdom of God, and that is more than just talking to people about God. I'm talking about getting your hands dirty. Where in that ministry does it require faith of you? Maybe you're playing it too safe. Maybe you should be at that place where the need is so big and the urgency is so big, and that you really need to go back to God and say, God, you need to help us here, and we need to make a plan so that we can do what you called us to do. Otherwise, we play safe. Amen? I hope you get the picture. But here's the thing. God wants to make all of us, the willing ones, men and women of faith. Can we close our eyes for a moment? I'm going to pray in a moment. And I don't want you to just pray this prayer or to raise your hand just because I'm asking you. Nobody's looking around, so it doesn't matter. If you're not ready for this, that's fine. No condemnation. Because I'm going to trigger something with this prayer in your life. And sometimes it's not nice. So if you're not ready for the not nice, don't raise your hand. And it's a simple prayer like this, while every eye is closed. God, make me a woman of faith and a man of faith. It's scary. Because God will challenge you on that prayer. I want you, if maybe you're afraid, that's fine. That's fine. But if you deep down say, Lord, I am afraid, but I want to. Or I'm uncertain about what is coming, but I want to, Lord. If you want to raise your hand quickly, nobody's looking around. And I'm just going to pray that, because I believe God wants to release. I don't know what the situation might be and what God is going to bring your way. It's unique to what and where you are. So, Father, I thank you for each and everyone that says, here I am, Lord. Make me a man and woman of faith, Father. I pray that right now, Lord. Trigger that. Release that, Lord. Encounters with you, Lord, like never before, Father. Your word like never before to them, Lord. Your spirit speaking to them, Lord, like never before, Lord. Challenging them, Lord, to step out in faith like never before. Father, for your glory's sake only. Not for the sake of any individual in this room this morning. Not for this church, but for your glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. I just want to say, watch what's coming your way, but I don't know, testify over a period of time. But it is, I remember many years ago, I was still so young in the Lord, and I was just so broken. And in that stage, a pastor came past, and a visiting pastor, and he preached, and he walked alongside me, and he preached about the difference between sons sons and children of God. And he laid his hand upon me, and he activated a prayer in my life and said, God, make him a son of you. So never underestimate for what you're asking. God will do that. And I know we're not in a perfect place. You don't feel like you are. God knows how to prepare you for that. Nehemiah 4 verse 19, look at the scripture. This is now after they became discouraged. We must step beyond our own abilities, what I'm trying to say to you this morning. We must step across that dividing line into a place of faith if we want to see what God wants to take us, or where God wants to take us this year. Then I explained to the nobles and officials and all the people, the work is very spread out. You can underline that word, spread out, and we are widely separated, underline that, from each other along the wall. When you hear the blast of the trumpet rush to wherever it's sounding, underline that, then our God will fight for us. Three things I want to share in that scripture that's so profound. The work is spread out. The people are widely separated than the sound of the trumpet. 480 years later, fast forward the story. This is what happened there with Nehemiah. A little bit later, just 480 years, nothing for Jesus. That's just a blink of an eye. Jesus was sitting there with his disciples, probably. One afternoon lunch, let's say it was after lunch or breakfast. I don't know what you fancy now. You think probably of lunch, but let's do a lunch for a moment. And they would sit there after lunch. You know, when you're like, after lunch, you feel like that, especially Sunday. Oh, I'm going to take a nap now. Okay, no, but anyway, let me get back to the sermon. Getting distracted. And they would sit there, and Jesus would look at the crowds and the people around him. And then he instructs his disciples, which became a prophetic prayer till this day. He tells them this. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers. It seems like Jesus knew. He knew something. Because the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. It's Jesus that said that. No prophet. Jesus said that. I think Jesus knew where the church and after us will find ourselves. It's been my prayer for such a long time lately. You get kind of overwhelmed with the work. You realize the work is farly spread out. Or the work is so big and the people are so spread out along the wall. I want you to see this, people. The wall is so long and the people are so spread out. If the church can just get that message, we'll be so much stronger. See, every time you say yes to God, you're closing the gap. You get on the wall and you say, I close the gap now. I want to ask you, are you on the wall this morning? You getting your hands dirty for the kingdom of God? Or you just a prayer, sitting there on the side and just do this and do this. Oh, you need to do this. And oh, they're normally the best coaches are anyway there, they say. The work is spread out. Or the work is so far. And the people are so separated. When Christine came earlier here, she shared about our children's church. And what do you realize? The work is so much. The people are so separated. I'm not trying to explain emotionally game with you here. I look at our country. Well, let me come back one step. I look at our schools. And I think for myself, God, if we can only get into that school. But it's so separated. The people are so far away from each other. And we are in one school at this moment. Our heart is to get into every school, to put a team into every school. Say, God, we want to be in that school. We want to have a presence, but we don't have enough people. And that's my prayer. God, send us laborers. Send us willing people. But the problem is, we're all busy with our own thinking. And I thank you for those of you involved. But many times, we are just on a different planet. But here's the thing. Us as a church are never called to do everything. That's a relief. You can say amen, okay? Because if you look at the world and the condition of the world, there's like, oh, God, how are we ever going to do that? Huh? Isn't that a relief that God says, no, I didn't call you to do everything. You can say amen on that one. Okay, that's good news. I didn't call you to do everything, Shofar Swakopmund. I called you to do some specific stuff. And this is where I want to stand still for a moment. So you look at the work, it's so spread out, and the people are so spread out, or the work is so vast and so much. But God says, that's all right, stay on that side of the wall. Guard that and fill the gaps there. What do I refer to here? Look at the scripture here. That God said here, look at this verse 20. When you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it is sounding, then our God will fight for us. See, here's the thing. The church is called to fill the gaps, but not every gap. We can't fill every gap. So God is saying to us as a church, Shofar Swakopmund, I'm going to blow the horn where I want you. Just rush to that place and cover that place, because then I will fight for you there. Prophetic obedience, prophetic relevance. So people start off, they want to do their thing. And lately, you know, God is ministering to me in the last few years about this whole thing about becoming more presence-centered than purpose-driven. Who have you read that book of Rick Warren, by the way, Purpose-Driven Life? Okay, it's a good book. Don't worry. Don't have to be afraid if I ask you to raise your hand. Nothing wrong with that book. I read the book myself. And it helps you just to be focused on where God wants you. But I sense that God is steering us to a place that is not just about me, my calling, great things, and all of that, to that place of being presence-centered, where God's presence is moving in our midst. This trumpet is blown. This is what I want you to do. Reach the next generation. Teach this nation to worship and teach this nation to pray. There are prophetic relevance within that specific mandate. And it takes maturity of us to lay down what we are busy with, what I wanted to do, build my ministry, lay that aside and say, I'm going to come and stand on this side. And God, I'm going to fill the gap here. And in time, you will release me for other stuff. Listen, we need you, if I put it this way, within that place. But you can be purpose-driven, or you can be presence-centered. Say, God, this is where you are moving with us now. This is not about the individual. And that's why I said earlier on, we're going to get to a place where we lay down my calling, my gifting, my, to us. This is what God has called us. And within the us, there's a place for the me and the I, what we think as a family. It doesn't help if we as a family, we have all the individuals, but we all run in different directions in ministry as well. And I'm not saying there's not a place for us to be ourselves. Please don't hear me like that. I'm just saying, we need to get to that place when God says, Shofar, Swakopmund, teach this nation to pray, that all of us get on the same page there. When God says, I want you to reach the next generation, we need to know that we know. What did God ask Shofar Swakopmund to do? If you don't know, it's a good time now to find out. So that you don't carry on the old way. Because the problem we have with this is, every year there's a new thought. Oh, well, I'm going to go this and do this. No. Carry on here and finish what I've started, what you've started with. See, we need to become presence-centered rather than purpose-driven. The problem of the thing is what happens alongside the way. The sad thing is we have some casualties. This is in the story, people. This is in scripture. It didn't end up with the same people that started. You always have the excited ones that's starting, and you have the faithful ones that end with you. Excited ones are the talkers. I'm one as well. Okay, so make sure you are faithful as well. Not just a talker. But those that are losing heart when they allow the enemy to influence their ranks, to allow their ears, open their ears to Sanballat and Tobias and say, you will not be able to do that. They allow that to affect their spirit. And then eventually they lose heart. They tell themselves, oh, I'm tired. And then eventually we will never be able to do this, ministry-wise as well, church building-wise as well. And we get to that place that we're so discouraged. And we're not able to step into faith. Because we've chosen to believe the lies of the enemy there. Amen. Or the second casualty, the sad one, is those that get offended. We don't like where you're going. This thing that you are building here on the other side. Why are you using so much money to put it? We can give that to Africa. That's what people come and say. Sorry to say. There are so many hungry people. Why do you build a building like that? Well, I do it because God said that. Punt. If you got a problem with that, I want to say talk to God. Because I have a problem at the moment. We have to finish it. And God says, well, I ask you to do it. You know, so it's like, anyway. Oh, pray for me. No, people, I know we're going to differ. I know we sometimes look different at things. I know priorities are different. But for God's sake, get to that place where you stand in the middle of God's purpose. Then you will find out why He's asking us to do certain things. See, that thing, and I keep on referring to thing because for some it's just a thing. You will never be able to add value or give or sacrifice when it's still a thing for you. And I want to ask you this morning, forgive me if I completely or continuously referring to this church building, but it can be ministry as well, because you only receive from what you value. And the same works with honoring as well. Maybe we'll do a service about a thing about honoring. Anyway, if that is still a thing to you, my advice to you is, somewhere and sometime when nobody's looking, go there at night and go and park there and ask the Lord, Lord, show me what you're about to do here. Move this thing out of my heart to a place of worship. I can't tell you how many times I've been, and you can do that if you want to. It's open during the day. Just ask me. I'm sure they wouldn't say no to you, deny you. But you just want to pop in there and just go and stand in the middle of the church building. Just stand there. Close your eyes. And then just allow the Holy Spirit to show you. And I saw so many people worshiping there. I stood in the middle of that place. And I can stand there and sense the presence of God. Amen. God doesn't wait for the building to be finished for His presence to move in. Okay, I'm not happy. There's no more window. There's not yet window, so I can move in now. No, God is there from the beginning. He was there when we prayed, when there was nothing. And now we're halfway or two-thirds, and God is still there. But God is saying, just come and run back here to this place and stand and see. This is more than just a thing, ministry-wise as well. This is a thing for the next generation. The same with our ministry, wherever God is taking us. Halfway through the thing, we become so sometimes disillusioned, and God needs to take us to that place and challenge us. Don't lose heart now. Hang in there. I can talk to you about many other ministry stuff this morning, not even a church building. But we are in the middle of it, and I'm like, how? But every time we go back to God and we ask Him how, it's like that conversation. God wants us to come back to Him. To look at the answer, God, no, but we need to make a plan. I need to go around this strategy, pray, strategize, pray, strategize, step out in faith, pray, strategize, step out in faith. It's that whole thing of wrestling with God. The bitter taste of a successful vision. Verse 21. I want you to notice that before we go, I just want to say that, you know, when God blows the trumpet, and He says, this is it. Focus on this. Where did God fight for them? Where they blow the trumpet. I think I shared this 2 weeks ago. If you want God to fight for you, get on God's side. Don't ask Him to come and fight for you when you still do your own thing. Get into a place where you know that you're busy with God's stuff,
It's bringing glory unto Him. That's a massive relief to know I'm just going to do God's stuff. I'm just going to keep my eyes there. The reality is, I want to warn you, Sanballat, Tobias, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, they're going to come. This is just the way it works. People are just going to come and say, what are you busy with? As in this case, there are two types of opponents that came, or opposition. From outside, that were scorning, they were mocking them. People will say, why do you do that? Are you stupid? Are you out of your mind? Why are you building such a big thing? I mean, have you heard all of those? Or whatever it might be. They will come from the outside because they don't understand the spiritual. And bless them. Don't curse them. Bless them. Say, you know, it's for God's sake. But this is the thing. When God steps out, asks us to step out in faith, we will sometimes be mocked. And if you're not happy with that, then you have to get rid of the fear of man. That is the reality. I can't pray that it would go away. It won't. That's a prayer I can't pray. It's not going to go away. But the sad thing here, people, listen to me. I think it's kind of okay for me when it's from the outside. Because I haven't got that emotional connection to that those people. I love them. I say love them. Love them. Respect them. Let's use that word. Respect is a better word. Love is not probably the appropriate word. I respect their opinion. Respect mine as well. But now it moves the next level when it enters into the inside. That's dangerous. When we allow that to come in here and we are affected and we affect one another, that brings a lot of harm. That is very, very dangerous. And I want to challenge you, for where we're going, make sure you are in unity with the vision, with leadership, with your brothers here, whatever. Bring it before the Lord and confess that. Get forgiveness, forgiveness, whatever. Don't harvest any bitterness and don't allow that thing to grow inside of you, because you're going to become so bitter, and then you're going to go in the other direction while the one where the rest is growing into this direction. This is what happened in the story. I'm not just putting stuff out there. It happens. Whenever God is taking us somewhere, there will be a few that's going to say, no, we don't agree with this. Or there will be a few that are so concerned about their feelings. Sorry, I'm just being straight honest here. That individualism that's rising up. It's about me. Why not my gifting? Why not me versus us? This is not about me now. This is about what God wants to do with us here. And I say it lovingly this morning, people. Because I my heart is to take everybody there to that other side and say, "Ooh, we've made it." As I say, we made it. I'm just referring to that. That everybody can taste the sweetness on the other side. But the reality is, it's a choice for all of us. Are you going to step out in faith? Are you going to keep your heart pure? Are you going to stand there and say, Lord, I'm going to be even more determined in my life to be present-centered than ever before? I said that to the people this morning before we prayed for the service. All I want is just the presence of God. Protect that in your midst, in your house, wherever you are. The presence of God, protect that and get rid of anything that would come for that. We want to arrive on that side. And often when we get to the other side, God says, listen, with this body of yours, spiritually speaking, you've got to get rid of a bit of weight there. You won't arrive on the other side with that five extra kilos. Get rid of the weight. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. Now, guess what? We're all a little bit overweight. Amen. That's a joke. You're spiritually overweight for this year. Okay, that's a prophetic word. Amen. We're excited. We're overweight. But the good news is we're all going on a diet. Okay, we're going on CrossFit 2020. I should give you that. That's the truth. You don't know it's happening on the side here. So I can actually say that. We're busy working on a new thing for the next 6 months called CrossFit 2020. We were all going to get fit, okay, in different levels. We'll explain that to you on another Sunday. So all of us are going to sign up for CrossFit 2020 to get rid of that spiritual weight. But I don't want to get distracted now. We need to get to the other side. And for us, look at this, verse 21. We worked early and late from sunrise to sunset, and after men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way they and their servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. During this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. What does it talk about? It talks about a determination and focus to make sure that we don't lose track of what God has called us. Don't take off your clothes. Don't take off your weapons. Just keep your eyes upon what I've asked you to do. If we want to get to the other side, we must remain disciplined, people. Quentin talked about that, I think last week he touched on that. Carl spoke about being equipped. And we need to figure that out. What is the stuff that I need to get rid of? I need to be disciplined in order to get to that place. Listen, you're not going to run a race if you're not disciplined. To practice continuously. Why do we want to do that spiritually? We want to pray, God, suddenly make me this man of faith. But you'll have to apply certain disciplines so that God can take you to that place. See, what distinguishes a disciplined person from an undisciplined one is that one that's willing to make the sacrifice for the bigger cause. Not everyone wants to sacrifice. Some say, no, I love the pudding too much. Well, guess what? You can have the pudding. You'll pay the price as well. I know I talk about food this morning. Forgive me. You can see Christmas was so close till holiday. But discipline requires of us this morning to realize, I'll end with this, that I don't always have the same privileges as the rest. That distinguishes a disciplined person from an undisciplined person. They might do it, but God has not called me to that. And I'm saying that, don't do that in judgment. Don't look at others, oh, I'm better now because I'm not doing this. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying sometimes society in the group will ask you to do this, but you know I don't have that privilege anymore to talk like that, to do that, to go there, to act like that. Sometimes it might not be so necessarily wrong, but you don't have that privilege anymore. Because the Spirit of God said, no, I don't want you to do that. Love the people, but realize you don't have the privilege. Look at this last verse. After all of this took place, after they built this wall to half of his height, going through the opposition, going through all the scorning, the craftiness of all those people, the Bible says here in verse 9 of chapter 6, they were just trying to intimidate us. Imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. But I love the last part of this verse. So I continued the work with even greater determination. You need to make a decision. When the resistance is going to come, are you going to fold? You're going to back down and say, okay, it must be a sign. It must be a sign I must stop. No. The resistance is going to come. This is godly. Meaning that the enemy will come to stop the work. But that time you make a decision in that moment to say, I'm going to be even more determined now. Come on, bring it on. Almost like, come on, give it to me. Because now I'm going to be even more determined. But then you need to know that you're standing in the middle of God's will. Then God will fight for you. Look at this verse, the last one, verse 15. I shared this in our elders group some months ago because the Lord gave me this verse. And he said, there will come a day when you'll have to stand on this verse. And I said to them, remind me that if I ever lose faith, that you keep me accountable to this verse that I shared. It's easy to share this verse well in advance, huh? It's easy when you get the word. It's when it's tested, when it's tough to stand on the word. Agree with me? Come on. If God gives you a word, it's nice to have the word now. But the word is not yet tested. The word is only tested a few months down the line. Then you've got to stand upon the word. And then you're like, oh, we're going to do this. God, you need to help us. Look at this. Just 52 days after the war was finished, just 52 days after we had begun, when our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. They realized this work had been done with the help of our God. Amen. That's what it's all about. Not about my glory. Not about my vision. Not about what I can accomplish this morning. No. No, this is about God's glory. This is about God. That the people would stand out there and say, this is God. We bring glory to you. Amen. Can we have some slides up there from our church building? I want to give you some feedback this morning on where we are currently.
I took some photos this past week. That's the one just on the side. You've probably seen that. The roof is up now. And then there's the inside. You see the stage there, as I mentioned earlier on. So they're busy preparing that to set that off to do that. And then go back. Don't put that otherwise figures. Otherwise, I lose you all now. In Jesus' name, calm down. I took that photo earlier this week. When was this? On Thursday morning. Now, Thursday morning early, we prayed as elders, and we were discussing, God, what about the way ahead? Because we are in a critical place now. Okay, now I'm going to be transparent with you where we are, so that you are not misinformed. Because many people say, oh, I didn't know. No, it's important that all of us know here where we are. Okay. So we were discussing that because we are about to make a decision to stop the building of the work of that this week. Okay, that's where we are. Because we're doing it cash. Okay. And we believe God has said do it like that. Okay, so that he can get all the glory. And I jokingly said, I couldn't say it in the first service, and I'm not recorded now, so now I can say that. And you wouldn't know that anyway. But I had two loving people from Bank Wunderkier on our first service, and I love them. So I didn't want to joke about the bank. So I thought that wouldn't be a nice joke to make. So, and I wouldn't put them on the spot and love them. I'm just saying about the bank. We want to give glory to God. Okay. Anyway, so that's where we are. And the next decision is to put the floor in and the windows. So we were discussing that on Thursday morning. It's like, well, we have to be frank and honest of where we are. We're just going to trust God. When I get to site, the builder's already preparing, you can see on the right side, the ground floor. I sent the message to Werner. I said, oh, Werner, I think the builder's got more faith than us. Or he knows about something I don't know. Because I haven't broken the news yet. Anyway, we trust for a miracle. But the reality is, we can put up the next slide in short. Initially, we said, I'm going to raise 6 million people, 6 million people, 6 million rand dollars. And we raised about 2 million of that. Some of that is external, some internal. So we divided that 6 into 3-3, okay? Don't focus too much about the rest. We just want to focus on the one here this morning. And if you give extra, that's fine. It will flow over. So don't worry. But we sense that God is saying to us, before we expect God to do miracles sometimes, but we're not willing to go to the altar. Huh? Are you with me? Why should God come through for me if I'm not willing to go to the altar myself and sacrifice something? So we agreed and we said, okay, well, if we can raise 3 million within, then we trust God for that unknown, which I still don't know how. God help us. Anyway, about the others. But let's just work on this for now before we expect, I want to say, the miracle on that side. And we raised 2 million of that. So we're about the 1 million, a little bit more short of that internal, I want to say, agreement or thing between us and God. Okay? So this is where we are currently. And I want to say many of you have contributed willingly, sacrificially, and all I can say is thank you. Can we give a hand to everybody? Okay. But we are that place that we are half the height. Well, not half. In this case, we're actually 2/3. So we're going down. We're not going, it's going down. So that's the good news. Phase one. Don't talk about the children's church now. Okay? Relax now. So here's the thing. People ask you from time to time, oh, how's it going with the church building? No, God is good. Still walking in faith. That's the reality. How much is costing? Oh, about 10 million. Oh, great. God will provide. See you. Is that sacrifice? Yeah, I know God will provide. I know. It's not news to me. It's not revelation to me. Thanks for that revelation, eh? But I think the confusion, or let me clarify it here, we've got that, I don't know if we've got that secret hope down there. God will provide. Tomorrow morning, church, when you wake up, you're going to open up and you're going to internet banking and you're going to look, and then 3 million would have dropped into the account. And you know, I'm not saying God can't do that. I'm not saying that. But it's almost like we sometimes want God to do his part and then we like sitting back and say, well, yes, Lord, come through. And I want to correct that this morning and say that lovingly. we miss the whole thing about faith and doing something together if we go down that avenue. None of us in this place is called to finish that thing, okay, individually. But combinedly, we combine our faith. It's individual faith that's applied together. Then it makes a combined faith, and then God comes through. God's not going to, if he can do that, he can give to the church directly. But I believe, and I'll testify in a moment as well, that God's going to give you faith and me faith for something specifically. Okay, this is faith. Not just the 2 million and 3 million. Maybe you can't get to that. That's fine. God didn't call you to that. Release you from that burden. But God will call you to specifically apply your faith in a specific area. And then you need to step out on that. And it's your decision there. I don't want to manipulate you. I don't want to feel that you feel, listen, I'm going down a certain route. It's your decision, like I said, to step across that line and say, Lord. Now what happened is I told you some time ago, when the Lord started speaking to me about how much I should give, my first reaction was like, ooh, okay. It's like, God, this is going to be painful. And I'm just talking about my own life, from my own ability, and I don't know where you find yourself. Because I wanted to contribute so that I know that I've sacrificed something. But I had to say no to some stuff in order to say yes to God. That's, you know, you haven't sacrificed if you can still say yes, yes. But when you have to say no here so that you can say yes here, that's sacrifice. That's when it's becoming pleasing unto God. And can I get the ushers just to hand out some of those pledge cards? Here's the thing, and don't get it wrong here. When God speaks to us about an amount, don't ask God the how first. Listen, our mind wants to figure out how first. But first we need to hear God what, if you want to contribute. I want to say this morning to all of us, if you feel that, you know, I've contributed enough or I don't want to contribute, there's no pressure upon any person, okay? That's for the record there. But I believe that God has given each and everyone the opportunity this morning to say, here we are again, okay? No condemnation, please. But I want all of us to have an opportunity. I thought I'm finished, and then God said, no, I'm not done with you. Because what happened? The Lord spoke to me about giving at first. I first thought, who? And then I thought, okay, how, Lord? And then I had to take a few days just to work out how I'm going to do this. And God gave me the way how to do that. And then I did it. And he has to test me. What I gave, God gave back to me. Why? Because God said, you will never outgive me. I'm just testifying to my own life. I'm not trying to say, put something here and say God's going to do the same with you. I'm just saying, and I believe many of you will have testimonies about when we put God first, he will always. So here's the thing I want us to do. Let's pray about that. If you feel this morning, I still want to contribute. I have contributed, but I want to contribute again. But I want to move, and I want you to do it in faith, not with reality, not with the mind. Okay, the mind would tell you, ask God the how later, okay? And then what we're going to do, if you want to give that back into the offering bag as you leave, we're just going to trust God. Okay, no condemnation for no person. If you don't feel like you can't do it right now, I don't want to put a burden upon you. But if you feel, God, I want to step out in faith, and I want to honor you for this, and I want to trust you, Lord, I'm ready for this. I almost want to say, bring it on. Then it's a scary place. So can we have a moment where we just spend time with the Lord? I think it's appropriate that we have those moments, that we don't rush into stuff like this. You don't just feel, you know what, I've been bullied into something. That is so important. This is a God moment between me and him. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.